Thank you. That client that you posted about in Boardroom that wanted to like interview traditionally.
I had someone, I had to do an interview, and I didn't like the company after the interview. I didn't really like the terms of the company. So I, instead of saying hell yes, I said hell no. And they said hell no at the same time too, so which was fine. But I do have some other good news.
Okay.
Not contract signed right now, but I had a client. I have a proposal out right now, and the client came back, and I'm supposed to meet with them to finalize the proposal on Friday. And the client came back and said, I don't have investor funding yet. Can we meet in early May instead? So instead of saying, yeah, let's push it out, what I said to him was, actually, you're better off signing with me right now with a contingent that it is against getting your investor funding done, so that I have a signed contract and we start as soon as he gets investor funding done.
Nice.
So he just wrote back and said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So
That's
instead of pushing
cool.
it out, I got a meeting out of it again.
Great. What a big deal. And the confidence that he'll have too, if he signs with you, he'll feel like he knows his next steps and now he doesn't have to deal with anything but getting the money, and then he
That's
can
right.
take
And
the
it's
next
a
step.
highly regulated industry. So it's a crypto company. So it's highly regulated. So one of the benefits to him that I said was, you can train me while we're waiting for investor funding. Train me. Give me the regulatory information. That's free of charge for you, using my services, training me up. And then you don't have to pay for that when it comes to as soon as your investor comes in and we start the contract.
Great. Love it. Love it.
You can also go to his investors and say, hey, we've got a chief marketing officer ready to go, contingent on closing this funding. That's a big deal.
So I'm pretty confident I'm going to sign that one at the end of the week.
Sweet.
So really, really happy about that one. I also got a lead from a media company that I'm working with that wants to do a 4-week project that I'm meeting with right after this call, and he wants to activate immediately. So hopefully I'll have some more good news after that call.
So cool.
Yeah, and that was like yesterday I was referred, and today he's meeting with me and wants to hopefully sign quickly.
Perfect. Love to
Yeah.
hear it.
So
Great job.
excited for
And
that.
just generally, where do your leads come from right now?
I got leads from connectors from my network and LinkedIn.
Great.
So the guy that I'm meeting with on Friday was a LinkedIn lead that through my drip campaign, as well as the, I know Casey, I've been talking about a few proposals. The other contract that I have out right now is through LinkedIn as well. And then this one's through the one I'm meeting with after this is through a connector.
Great. So cool. Seems like you're
So
doing it.
I'm tracking at three contracts at a time.
Yeah, good.
Negotiating three contracts at a time. Not all of them
Great.
close, but that's what I'm tracking at.
And will you be charging US dollars or Canadian dollars?
US, of course, Casey.
Love it. It's a
I
small
love my
raise.
US clients. All three of them are US. So I don't charge, I charge Canadian and US, US clients in US.
Okay.
And all of the leads that I've been getting are all US leads. I haven't been getting a lot of Canadian leads, to be honest with you.
Okay. Great. Good to hear. She's coming across borders to steal your clients, guys. We should stop her.
Mandy
Not
is
stealing clients.
living the Canadian cost structures without all the tariffs. She is selling into the United States with all our high prices and getting the maximum. And then she's hiring her team out of the Philippines.
That's right.
She is just set up for success.
Yeah, I am. I'm
Missing step
hiring.
is establishing her business in Cuba. Right.
Cuba.
Cuba, I think, would be
If
good.
I can move to the Bahamas, and get some tax-free income, that'd be
Yeah.
even better.
Puerto Rico actually is
That's
the
for the
tax
US
haven.
though.
I know, but the tax is different.
Oh, is it for Canadians too?
Yeah,
Yeah.
several of my crypto buddies all moved to Puerto Rico.
That makes sense. Your
Yeah.
buddies? No, your crypto buddies? Yes, that makes
My
sense.
crypto buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, if you're doing stuff legally, you want to move to Puerto Rico. If it's illegal, you got to move to the Middle East. That's the
That's
crypto.
right.
Yeah, there's I
Don't we
forget
have
which
a
country.
member? He's not on right now. Who's in Dubai?
Yeah, you got to move to Dubai if you're doing illegal crypto stuff.
It's a scary place to be right now, Dubai.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyone else with good news? Anything else to share? Because like Lauren and Carolyn both had some folks reach back out to them on the cold outreach. Good to hear. Jay, you said you have another triage call on Friday. Love it, Jay. Jay, you're in such a non-standard niche, and I love to hear just like all the movement that you're making in it. It's just kind of proof that this isn't a model that exclusively works in B2B SaaS. You know, obviously it's what
Totally.
you like the gaming
Yeah.
space. Yeah.
Yeah, I have I'm getting a lot of interest from like collaborators as well, like already like kind of other consultants in the industry, but more kind of like on the studio operations side, like have approached me and like, hey, you know, we should like, you know, form like a partnership of sorts and like send people to each other. I've got like a media outlet in the space has also approached me to do like a content series with them. So there's a lot of
Sweet.
like a lot of authority building happening as well.
Great to hear, man. Love it, Jay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Ben, I know that you're probably trying to clear your calendar just in case Opus 4.7 releases, maybe today, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, sure.
Are you waiting for it? No.
No,
You
not,
think
I
it'll
mean,
just be a
when it
nerfed
comes, it
model?
comes. I don't know. It's I'm sure it'll be 10x what 4.6 is, but
What
yeah.
4.6 is or what 4.6 was?
Ooh, that's a harsh judgment right there. I still get good results from 4.6.
I get good results. I don't get the same results though. It really does feel like
Yeah.
someone's drinking on the job.
But this has happened every time, right? Every single time it dips and then they release the next one. I think it has something to do with like they're trying to train the new one,
Yeah, right.
and they need the capacity for other things, and they've just they've like doubled or tripled their user base in the last 3 months. And so
Wow.
it's like you can't build fast enough for that, right?
Sure.
They got a bunch of new customers from the whole thing with ChatGPT or OpenAI's Department of
Super Bowl.
Defense, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The Super Bowl commercial, yeah. So they've just done a really great job of growing their customer base, but yeah, they don't have enough server capacity to serve them.
Yeah, makes sense.
They've signed something close to $1 trillion worth of construction deals going into 2027.
Wow.
That won't even come online till like 2028.
Wild.
That's crazy.
Wild. I heard from a buddy of mine, last thing before we dive in for today's stuff is we're in the era of $6 Ubers. So he said that in regards to AI compute.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you guys remember when Uber came out, it was like, why would I take a stinky taxi when I could just use my phone and someone pulls up and I hop in a car and go where I want and it's cheap? It was like convenient and cheap. And now we're in a place where the convenience is still there, but the cheap isn't there. If I want to go to the airport, I don't know how to call a taxi. Like, I'd have to Google it, or I could just open up my Uber or Lyft app and call a Lyft. I think that's interesting. I think in the same way, that's where we are with AI, where we have heavily subsidized compute that we're all enjoying. And I think, barring a big breakthrough, we're going to see that compute just become more expensive. So I don't think this will last forever. And I think, like, how I'm internalizing this is like it makes us more and more important as the people with taste and discernment and experience to know if the AI is putting us into a slop loop. It's a new term for us, slop loop, right? Like running in that circle of creating crap and then improving the crap to be more crap. You know, it's just so many businesses are in that slop loop. The only way to get out of that is with really good compute, which I don't know if it's going to be available to us. It would be available probably for enterprise customers. And then on the other side, It just has to be a human. So I think as I see where we're going with AI and just like the hard costs of it, I think it's going to be more common for companies to offload labor to AI, but the AI companies are going to charge appropriately for that. Why would they charge $200 a month when they could charge you 5 grand a month? Because you're replacing a 20 grand a month employee. So I think we're going to see costs increase. And I think that bodes well for us as CMOs. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I want to talk about today's industry intelligence playbook. And some of you have been here before, and I want you to edit yours. The big idea of the industry intelligence playbook is what we talked about, was it 2 days ago? How to become unfuckwithable as a CMO. You have to stand on solid ground. And one of the ways that you stand on solid ground is that you know your industry. Like, you're just not an outsider. You're not someone who uses the wrong terms. You're not at the doctor's office saying, "Can I have the sharp, cutty thing?" Right? Like, you use the word scalpel when scalpel's the word to use. You have to understand the jargon, but you also want to understand, like, the movers and the shakers in the space. I mean, I wager here that, Jay, you're getting deeper into your understanding of your market than anyone else in the marketing space. I mean, save for a couple agencies that have maybe been doing it longer, but like, you're getting a level of nerd into kind of the meta structure of how your industry works. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's for a marketing person, especially, it's very much a blue ocean because there really is not a lot of like formalized like expertise. Even if you go on YouTube for like marketing a game, there's really not a lot out there. So
Yeah.
it's virgin territory, basically.
Yeah,
It's very
great.
exciting. Yeah.
And what's important here is like it doesn't matter if you have the same blue ocean that Jay has. Some of you are in tighter, more controlled markets where there's marketers who have been there for a lot longer, even some incumbents. That's fine. You can still get up to their level quickly and outpace them if you do things right. So the point of today is getting you up to speed with your market and understanding your market as quickly as possible and in an ongoing way. So I've got a document here that's in the chat. If you don't have it, grab it, and I'm going to walk you through it. The point of this document is that we're going to fill it out together and you're going to prompt your own AI on it. We hope that Claude's alive for this one. We'll see. So what you're going to do is you first have to work on this prompt with me. This is like kind of just the first one that we have to work on together. And then everything else just comes through prompting it additionally. So this is your priming prompt, and I want you to complete this with me. Change anything you want in here. This is just what I wrote. I'll zoom in. I'm a fractional CMO, and I want to build a deep understanding of my industry, the people, publications, events, and other relevant information. I'm going to ask you a series of questions so you can conduct deep research and give me insights. I need to fully understand the landscape of my industry. I want to know who the players are, what they read, the events they attend, where they get published. I want to know where money changes hands, who the authors, PE firms, gurus, and any other relevant thought leaders and connectors are. My goal is to authentically connect with these people so I can wade deeper into my niche and be recognized as an expert. Your job is to create an FBI style case file, comprehensive, detailed, and insightful, that gives me a complete picture of my industry and its key players. Together, we'll use this intelligence to build a strategy that embeds me in the industry and positions me as a go-to authority. That's the big outcome. So, first, put in your city, put in your zip code. We use that to find events near you. You want to know the events that are kind of like near your house. And now, in this kind of config file, here are the details of what I want to work with as a fractional CMO. Keep in mind that I want to sell my services as a fractional CMO. However, in order to do that consistently, I need to understand the market in detail. So the industry my client is in is what? And be verbose here. The more you say, the better. If anyone just writes B2B SaaS, I'll drive to your house and slap you. You can't just be in B2B SaaS. So what industry is your ideal client in? How would you define that industry? Next, what keywords describe your ideal client?
Can you give an example here?
Yeah, sure. Remind me, Luana, your industry?
Yeah, health tech. So I'm just thinking if something like Series A, Series B would be a keyword that's
Yeah, sure.
appropriate
Series A,
here.
Series B, but then it's like wearables. It's like IoT.
So more
It's
the
like,
subcategory.
yeah.
Got it.
Because you want to find like the developer who's like building out the IoT stuff and connect with her on like a level of nerdiness that then gets you a deeper relationship into the industry.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, and I want to state that revenue is not a keyword in the same way. What we find is that people at companies stay at those types of companies. So it's less important to me that you're going after a Series A or B company and more that you're going after a company that has a certain number of employees, probably. And also, it's like an industry with keywords. So write your revenue range in there too. And I would be a little. I wouldn't be as exacting because this isn't like our outreach. This is about us understanding the market. So if you typically only work with companies doing 5 million, maybe drop that down to 2 million here. That's fine. It doesn't hurt you. Some of y'all might not be hired by a CEO, founder, or co-founder. I think it's Shavkat. He'd probably be hired by like the operations manager, or sorry, his clients would be hired by the operations manager. He would be hired by the CEO. And then, is there anything else about the companies that, like where they're all based? Are they in the US, North America, US, Canada, Europe? Are they German companies trying to come to the Bay Area in the health tech space? All right, 10 companies who would be ideal for you to work for or work with. Go pull it from your list. Go pull it from your LinkedIn list that you have. That's where I want you to be. Put in real stuff here, all that you can. Company name, URL, the whole shebang. Anyone have questions? Anyone stuck? What's up, Jose? Good to see you. Hey, Kaylee. Hey, Bonnie. Haven't seen some of y'all in a couple days. Hey, Charles.
Can I ask a quick question that doesn't really have anything to do with this, but I promise
Yes.
it's very fast. If the option is to reach out to a founder or a COO, would you start founder first? Okay. That's it.
Yeah,
Okay.
I would start founder first, but it kind of doesn't. I don't know. Timing doesn't matter because you're going to do this for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter to me. Start with
Okay.
the founder, I would, because they're the best decision maker, and then go to the
Okay.
COO, and then go back to the founder with the next campaign. Keep going.
That was my gut, but thank you.
Yeah,
Just
cool.
popped into my head.
Great. Anyone feeling stuck? Remember, if you're not verbose, like the AI doesn't know what you're thinking yet. Just knows what you give it. So you have to give it a lot. Really prime it. Cool. Anyone here have the pro subscription to ChatGPT? That's Ben. That's like, what does it cost right now? Is it like a $200 a month plan?
A trivial amount that I don't keep track of. I don't
Right.
know. 200 bucks, I think, is what I pay for the. I'm thinking about going down to 20 because I just actually I do use it a lot. I do use it a lot, but you know, do you want me to talk for 20 minutes or do you want to? Do you
No,
want me to answer your
it's
question with
weird.
one word?
Yeah. I'm on Plus, I'm not on Pro. Okay. So they've just like have changed some of their thinking models here. So what we're going to do is you're going to choose the AI of your choice. Man, this camera. I'm very sorry. I have a new one in the mail. It'll be here soon.
for the AI tool that you want to use, just choose the one that you want to use. Some of you are Perplexity users, some are Claude, some are Chat, whatever you want to use. I would use Claude personally right now. I'm just enjoying it more, but I feel like that changes every day. And I'm enjoying Claude more today, but less so than I was a month ago. So what you're going to do is you're going to pull up the AI tool of your choice, and you're going to start a project in it. And inside that project, you are going to paste that first prompt in. And you want to choose your model so that it is like an extended in ChatGPT. That's the offering here, that we do an extended thinking model. We don't want just its regular model. We want it to do extra thought. So right here it says thinking on my ChatGPT. Standard versus extended. I want to do the extended thinking. I want it to do some deeper thinking for me. And you're just going to grab that whole prompt. Copy it. And then just paste it in and hit go. As I learn more about how the AI models work, it may make sense for you to continue to actually repost this information with the additional prompts. So, like, this is like an environmental prompt, and then the next one is your specific prompt that you're asking more information on. That might be helpful for you. But what I want you to do is just copy and paste this in, and then copy, and then read the results, make sure that you're happy with it. Answer any question that it has, and then copy and paste the next prompt in. And that should start printing out all this information for you. Again, the goal of this is for you to get a deep understanding of in-person and digital events. That's the first thing. Where are they? When are they coming up near you? All that kind of stuff. Anyone feeling stuck right now? Cool. What are y'all using for your models? Chat, Claude, Perplexity, Z.ai, self-run on a stack of Mac minis. Claude, chat, cool, chat, great, Claude. Kind of a split there. Sean, are you in Claude Code at all?
Yeah, I'm in Claude Code.
Okay, cool. You prefer chat just
For
based on
deep
stuff.
thinking stuff like that, I haven't done this kind of stuff in Claude Code yet. I've just been using it to try and build, apps and stuff.
Cool. Great. All right, so you guys should have something getting printed out. How long is it taking you right now to get that result? Anyone have their first result yet? Jen's got it. Jose, what's up?
And we're just copying. We're copying step one, just step one.
Yeah, just
Or
step one, just that priming prompt.
okay.
Just the whole priming prompt, just before in-person and digital events, that header. And the question that you're asking at the very end is, before we get started, is it clear what I'm asking you? What questions do you have for me before I give you my first request? I want to know if there's any good digital events or in-person events that are happening in your industry that maybe didn't know about.
Not that I can afford it.
You can afford to go to the hotel bar and you can
Touche.
say, "What's this event all about, guys? I was just passing through."
I don't think I'm flying out to California.
O okay, well, if it's in your backyard, see you, Lauren. Good luck on it. You don't have to go to the events. You know, you can just go to the bar if you want. Yeah, Jay, have you done that, Jay?
Every single year for GDC.
Wow.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so you should be having some events that populate for you. Amy, do you see any?
It's still thinking. I was pasting when you asked.
Okay.
Casey Claude says that CMOX is the most important community in the CMO space.
It's great, man. It's good. It's a good answer. We find that we resolve well in the LLMs for chat, but not for Claude. So
I'm talking to Claude right now.
that's good. Good to hear. I've had the team work
Yeah,
ardently.
Claude was how I like found out about CMOX.
Wow. That's cool to hear.
That is neat.
Yeah.
Okay. After you have your events, you can just post then the next thing, the industry publications prompt. Just copy and paste that whole thing in. But I want you to really get an understanding of your whole industry. That's what we're after here. If you feel like the prompt is missing something that's specific to your audience, like spend a minute and review it. You could just like copy and paste everything I have for you and just call it good. Or like you could, you know, have a little discernment for your industry if you've got something extra to add.
Can I give a piece of advice? Because I did this a couple weeks ago as part of the whole
What you got?
sales ready thing. I did the whole thing. It was to do it in chunks, like a little bit each day, because it will take a while. And sometimes it is wrong. And then it took all this time and it's wrong. And if you give it too much, I feel like it gets a little bleh. So I just took each prompt as its own thing, like did that. Worked, waited till it was done, checked it, and then moved on.
Love it.
But it made it as, you know, did the initial prompt of like make this one working document. Like just now, I've realized I hadn't looked at it in a while, and it's kind of geared toward the DPC physician, whereas I want to be more concierge, so I just tweaked it, and then it can tweak that one little section. And anyway, so
Great. Love it. Love it. And I think well, there's the biological term, is it sentience? It's like when an organism grows beyond its means too far, it starts to kind of like mutate. And it feels like that's what happens in AI. If we like go too far past the initial prompt, then it starts to kind of like forget, you know, it loses that context. The context windows aren't big enough. So that's why I mentioned just a few minutes ago, repost the first priming post with the priming prompt with whatever prompt you want, kind of as one bigger prompt, as a single prompt. It tells it again what to do, and it can remember. It doesn't have to remember then. All right. Shell clap. Dylan's here. Hey, Dylan, welcome.
what's up, guys? How's it
What's up,
going?
man? Good. Good. Welcome in. We're doing the industry intelligence report. Drop it in here for you. Have you done it before?
I don't think so. No.
Great. All right. So you're just going to open it up and make a copy and then edit the priming prompt to add in your city and zip code. And then fill in the rest of the blanks for that first prompt. And then go paste that into your AI of choice with like a deep thinking. Hey, Carolyn, you can just hit the stop button, maybe? Maybe you can stop it midway.
And then what do I do? Just choose deep thinking then, and then run it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoa.
Carrie, what did you find when you ran this before? Was there something that was useful that came out of it?
Yeah, I think for me, because it was a brand new space, the jargon and frameworks was honestly super helpful just to like glance through and just have to reference. And then I mean, all of it. I would say some of it I haven't really dove into that much, like the private equity and all that. But it's all just nice to kind of have there, at least as even a starting point, as opposed to like asking that question kind of half-assed within ChatGPT or wherever. It's like, okay, I know I have this in-depth at least starting point, and then I can kind of build from there. So, yeah, like I just updated the influencers part that I updated, and I'm like, oh, okay, these are names I haven't heard yet. Like I'm gonna go follow these people on LinkedIn. So,
Oh, cool.
yeah.
You could also review then those influencers' posts and do something with them, maybe write your own version of their
Oh, yeah,
posts, you
for
know, that
sure.
style, whatever's working, something like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I've really appreciate I'm glad I took the time to do it already because now I can continue to kind of tweak it. It does take, again, that's why I
It takes a
suggest
while.
to hit one a day for like the next, 8 to 10 days, and then you have it. So.
Or for some of you just don't have that ability to stick to something for 8 days. So just do two prompts right now and call that useful. You know, if you get a brain upgrade on like just the private equity folks, and that's a list that you can go follow those people, you can go connect with them on LinkedIn, you can follow their work. That's a big deal. Like that is certainly worthwhile for how to spend your time. All right. Anyone with any questions on this? Something not working? Maybe you don't know how to run AI tools. Feeling good?
Yeah, what's an AI? I don't know.
It's just Al.
Oh,
It's just a
Al.
guy named
Yeah.
Al.
I got
Yeah,
an
just
uncle
ask
named
him.
Al. He's great. Yeah.
Perfect. Get that unk energy on it. Thanks, Jose. Adobe Illustrator. I don't know how to do it. Photoshop, I'm okay. Illustrator? I just don't even know.
Yeah, they're infamous for completely switching up all of the hotkeys from one program to another.
Yeah. Couldn't you just build it into one? Is there that much in
Yeah,
Illustrator
sure.
that's
Yeah.
Jason, I don't even know what you're saying. I've been building my whole website using Al, AI, Adobe Illustrator. I don't even know.
Yeah, I basically use my so I so if you go on my website, like everything is AI, like even my pictures,
Oh, okay.
like everything.
Fun.
Yeah, it saves a lot of time.
Yeah, for sure.
But does it convert?
Not yet. I mean, we launched officially 2 weeks ago, but it's starting to get momentum. I mean, we're definitely getting some exposure, but not yet. And we're still fixing up like how we're doing the forms to connect directly to Go High Level. So we're debating if we're going to use a Go High Level form, which is it's kind of like a don't know, I'm not a big fan of it, or the other way is to use Webhook to connect the form to Webhook that pushes the data into Go High Level. And then we have more control on the design of the form. So we're still figuring that out
Aren't
right now.
forms just one of the hardest things? Is it just me? Like, is there an easy way to do forms?
No, there isn't.
No. Oh, yeah. Forms, like how forms work and how email gets sent. I will let those two things be black boxes that I never understand. Yeah. I'm a gravity form guy. I think they've done a really great job of it on WordPress.
Ninja forms back in the day.
Is that a
Throwback.
warrior special offer?
I don't even know. Yeah. I learned WordPress back in 2018 and my skills never evolved, so I'm way out of
I
date
feel
here.
you on that, dude.
Yeah.
We're so close with Elementor of like being able to get web pages built through vibe coding. And
Yep.
you just have like paste in an HTML element. It's okay.
Yeah.
Soon you'll be able to do like native building. That'll be it.
I don't
Oh.
know, man. Here's an interesting thing. That's only important if you care about exactly what the web page looks like. If you don't really care about, how big that image is or what colors it uses or whatever, I mean, you can adjust and tweak a lot of that. But I've built a multi-hundred page website over the last month that I haven't touched HTML. It's not built in any platform. It's just Claude code, writing documents and uploading them.
It's an HTML page, though, ultimately. Yeah, great.
Are you
Super
using like
easy.
Vercel to host it or anything like that?
I'm using Cloudflare Workers.
Cool. Yeah.
It's the fastest
Fairly
website
light.
I've ever even seen.
I have a, yeah. I've
Ben
got a
just
client. Oh, go ahead, man.
taught me how to build my own website. I built a really cool tool to upload marketing assets for white label. For a white label, for companies to white label certain assets. Ben, in 40 minutes, Ben
Something.
had me
Yeah.
building my own website end to end on Supabase and Cloudflare,
That's
Fair,
cool.
Flare, whatever it is. It's super cool.
I did a launch readiness scorecard I'm using as a lead magnet. So studios will kind of input their their wish list momentum, creator outreach, it's really basic stuff, and it kind of scores them and recommends like, all right, well, this, here are some easy wins that you can implement.
Cool.
Yep.
I want you guys to get some kind of like brain upgrade from this process. You're adding something in, you're getting some detail, something's useful. Bonnie, anything coming up for you?
Honestly, I had to I'm going to go back in and tweak it. They're all coming up with conferences all over, but I found some really good events actually down at the beach, surprisingly. And it's not so much the attendees, but it's the sponsors. So I actually
There you
just
go.
booked, so I actually just upgraded my ticket to a VIP ticket in hopes to be set with the sponsors specifically to try to get in touch with them. So I'm going to try to look for smaller, more intimate events rather than these big like AICPA conferences where there's like thousands of attendees. So
Great.
yeah.
Love that. Is there a local CPA group that meets in like different chapters, like a EEO kind of thing, like a YPO for CPAs? Could you imagine someone outside of like our space hearing me say that? A YPO for CPAs.
There
Yeah.
are.
I wonder if you could get, can you infiltrate those at all?
Yes, they're a little bit of a drive. I might have to go up to
Okay.
Philly or DC or something like that, but
Okay, cool. If you come to Philly, I'll take you out for a good
I
pretzel.
know.
Yeah, I think that's a worthy thing to consider. Yeah, and I think if your niche too is being such a kind of a, no one's competitive against each other, unless they're in the same territory. But if they're in different territories, then they're just not competitive. So if I'm a CPA and I got a buddy's a CPA one town over, like we can be best buddies. And not feel like we take each other's business. So I think in that way, you creating content that gets passed around is really interesting. Like good content that they want to read. Call it a book or like a really good document or a scorecard or something for them that just like gives them something tangible. I think it would be helpful.
I also thought about, in addition to the M&A activity, which I have to do a lot of research on because I've never actually been through one before, somewhat of a new partnership, but not actually an acquisition or anything, but also growth development with new partners. That's also transitionary too, that might be a good niche to address because no one really has time to train and mentor those new partners, and they're just thrown into a partnership role because of their technical ability. They have no marketing and growth ability whatsoever. So that could also be an area to look
Great.
into.
Yeah, love it. All right. Roxy, you're on mute and no video. But are you alive, or is this the AI version of you?
Hi, yes,
Okay.
I've been using actually both ChatGPT and Claude to do this exercise just to compare results.
Cool.
It's interesting. I like ChatGPT is asking me better questions right now. So I'm working through the FBI case files portion. I haven't gotten to the events yet.
Okay, great. Great. You stuck on anything, or you feel good?
No, I'm feeling good. I'm also still working through nailing my niche, like very, early end of the sales ready process. So this is actually helpful for me to go through as I'm also working on that exercise in that phase. So yeah, I'm going back and forth with it, asking, questions about company profiles that I should be looking at from a revenue perspective, number of employees and things like that. So learning quite a
Great.
bit.
Love it. Love it. Good work. I think one thing with PE folks is you don't have to have a lot of PE relationships. You get a couple of dogs that are just getting a lot of deals. That's all you need. Just be part of their deal flow. Remember, the conversation with PE is really easy. Hey, let me be the person who reviews marketing stuff for you. I'll do it. I won't charge you a dollar for it. Just like that could be a really fun role for you. Then someone comes to you and says, hey, Jen, we're thinking about acquiring this company. I'd love your take. Can you spend 20 minutes like reviewing their marketing stuff and give me your thoughts? You're like, yes. You give them your thoughts, and your thoughts also include that you think it's a good idea and they should probably hire you to be the CMO for it. It's a nice opportunity to be able to kind of pitch through providing value. And I would do that for folks in like the financial M&A space. Kaylee, you feeling good?
Yeah, mine's going good. I'm
Cool.
still getting it all entered in here.
Great. I love the Stranger Things vibes of your background.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, Casey, on the associations, I've really been trying to leverage them and meet with their membership teams. Maybe some
Cool.
of them I've even joined. I've done some networking events, I've followed some of their members. Anything else that you recommend to leverage associations and those relations? Because it just doesn't seem to be clicking yet.
Just make a very direct and clear ask. Hey, just my ideal customers are your members, and I want to find a way to like just give a ton of value so they feel really taken care of by you guys. And then I also get the opportunity to get in front of them. What could we come up with? What kind of cadence? What kind of presentation? What kind of whatever? What do you
Yeah,
think
they
about that?
don't seem interested in making that connection until I'm a member. And some of these
Oh.
memberships are 2 grand for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems a little risky right now, not
Sure.
knowing that it's going to be fruitful. So some of them have allowed me to just come to one or two events, like a social. But again, it's hard to make an impact when you got a room of 200 people that don't know you in that kind of situation.
Good point. You can't do a presentation if you're not a member. Like in EO, they don't let members really do presentations. They let non-members do presentations. And it's kind of like a weird line, I would just keep shopping for membership groups that let you in. That let you in and do something. You won't get everyone. And then find like the cheaper events that you could attend. If they do an annual summit that's $500, that might be better. But I would look for ways to, if you can get a roster, connect with
And
those
if you're a
people.
member,
You can if you're a member. Do you have anyone that you know that's a member?
not off the top of my head, I might, figure that out.
Can you give me an example of one of these companies or associations?
Yeah, so Independent Equipment Dealers Association.
Such a great name.
And they do like a major annual event in Florida, and it's huge. And so it's like, well, that doesn't make sense to, I mean, And that's like in January, February. And it's so big. It's like, how am I going to make any sort of impact at this ridiculously large one-time event, you know? It'd be
Yeah, I hear
nice if
you on
they were
that.
doing other smaller networking or virtual things throughout the year, and they don't.
Okay. I'm just checking out some of their stuff. I can share my screen. So I'm just cruising around, kind of getting a sense for things.
Talked to the director. He was squirrely. He re referred me to somebody else. I've had good conversations from them, but you know, I'm just not getting traction. Another one is North America Equipment Dealers, I believe is what it is. NA.
North America Equipment Dealers Association,
Yeah.
NADA.
I do have finally got in touch with somebody. I have a meeting with them tomorrow. And so that's why I'm asking this is like, because what I've been doing with builders associations and the independent equipment dealers, I'm not getting traction. So what do I need to do differently when I meet with this group?
I want to answer your question. Just a second, though. I mean, this is just like a WordPress password. So there's like stuff behind a single password here. I don't know. There's a guy in me who says, find the password.
Like trying to hack the system.
Not hack, just see if you can guess it. Is it
I
hacking if you just guess? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You take a peek. We could also look here at the site. Well, that's a native password on a WordPress site, I bet. So that this is a WordPress site. So if we look at the pages, we can see pages that are here on the site, and we can look at last updated. Can't sort this very well. A lot of old stuff in here. You know. Document library. Is this going to be password protected as well? No. I don't know. I like to poke around this stuff, you know, just like see what you can find. Looks like that might be a dead page. Member login, new template gen, members only webinars. So, okay, so that's going to have that password on here. Got it. It's funny. Recent obituaries. Like, what is this page that's live? What's the cause of cremation? That's a little sloppy. Right. So, nothing terribly interesting here. You know, if it's public, it's public. That's kind of how I feel about it, even if it's obfuscated. Just to see. So this is how you can become a member. Testimonials. Training. It's a lot of stuff. Looks nice. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I'd like to spend a little bit of time poking around these sites just to kind of see what all is in there, to see if it's even worth it, to see if they are gonna give me a directory if I join, and just kind of poke around and play, see what you can find. On this other one, this one looks a little bit tighter. Yeah, I mean, it's not cheap, but I would push back on these folks and just say like, do you have a like sponsor member that I can do that's a lower cost, that kind of thing.
Sponsors more, and they would prorate it for the year, but like
Had you sign
still,
up on December 25th
right? True.
just to get that back. It's not like the password changes on these things, you know? Well, I guess the different sites, but this site's password does not change. They set the
Right.
password once and then
Right.
that's just their password.
So in meeting with them, other than what I've been doing is making an immediate ask, could they connect me with somebody of their members? I'd love to learn more about the membership, what resources are available to me, anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I wish this camera worked because I want to stare at you and say this. There is a tsunami coming, and it's called AI, and it's going to really damage a lot of businesses. And I'm on the forefront of the intersection of AI and marketing, and I want to tell people about it. Like, you know, the British are coming. Like, I'm Paul Revere, like riding through towns. Like, that's how I want you to feel and show up. Like, you're not saying, would you please, out of the kindness of your heart, introduce me to people who might give me money? Because that's like seeking them to be generous. And I want to show them how what you're doing is actually going to make the association look good. So I think it's a positioning thing. Does that
So
feel
some of
different
these
to you?
associations already have marketing members that they are going to refer over me because I'm not a member.
Hey, I'm not asking for referrals. I'm asking to share the good news. And then if you like what I said, you'll think that I'm probably the person to trust that you'll come find me. And then over time, you get a deal or two from that, and you're like, okay, cool. I'll go pay to be a member, and then I'll outwork those members, and I'll be the most referred member, or outwork those marketing sponsors. But I think you got to have a tone here that's just different. And if they don't let you in and give you a platform, go find the movers and shakers in those associations on LinkedIn, and go follow everyone that follows them. Go friend all of their friends.
That's what I've been doing. Okay.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
I would also start with the marketing people in those associations, Amy. They're your connectors, because there are likely agencies, graphic designers, UX specialists. They're not likely fractional CMOs.
And also,
I'm
Amy,
having a hard
like
time. The agencies that are like sponsored or members by these associations won't pick up the phone, won't call me back, don't respond to my emails. It's like, they don't want to talk to a competitor. But I'm trying.
the
Yeah.
other thing, Amy, is some people are members but aren't active, especially if your company pays for it. So, Casey's approach in terms of like kind of wiggling your way in or pushing your way in may work because while those people might be on the member list, they may not be doing anything. And you come in and show you got hustle and you can, make something happen, right?
Yeah, I like that. Okay. Thanks. Hopefully tomorrow is a beneficial call.
I'm thinking what could be like a way that you can kind of like come in as an authority or expert and kind of positioning yourself that way. Because that's basically like my strategy. And I wonder if there's a way to kind of like present yourself that way, that you come in with a completely different aura, right? Like, oh, like, yeah, like Amy's the expert. We should totally do what she says.
Yeah, Amy, I know a little bit of your story too. Like, it's kind of interesting how you have both sides of the coin of like your background is in incredible work with print and AI is coming. So like, is there some specific insights that you could have that's like, here's how AI is changing like print, or like, are there, I'm sure there are campaign organizations that are writing custom mailers using AI for every person they mail to. Or do you need to be a leading voice on why that's a great idea or something like that? So could just be an interesting, like, could you position yourself as the expert using your backstory and the opportunities ahead? So just a thought, because I mean you're a killer, and also your commitment level is high. So, I would have confidence in there. Casey, anything you'd change from that?
No, I mean, I like that. I'm looking some stuff up for. I'm looking up too to see if there's a group on LinkedIn for these associations because you could get in the group and then follow everyone that else was in the group. But I don't see those LinkedIn groups.
Yeah, I haven't found any either. I kind of wonder, did LinkedIn kind of do away with groups? Like, I haven't seen
I
very
think that
much.
there's, I think community is hard. I
Yeah,
don't
and
know.
then also for groups, I use them a lot for like content posting because that drives my impressions. But you can also specifically reach out to people within the group without using an in-mail. So if you're part of a group that a person that you're interested in is part of the group, and let's say you run out of in-mails, you can actually message them through the group directly.
That's right.
But I try to get into a bunch of legal groups, and it's been very difficult, for sure.
Yeah. I think, Amy, that you have to infiltrate, and often the way to infiltrate is to provide value. And you have to find a targeted way to do that. And I'm always so surprised, Amy, when I try something and it doesn't work, and then I like spin the name of the thing that I tried and it works really well. You know, like I hosted a call for y'all 2 days ago called "How to Be Unfuckwithable as a CMO." It was a really well attended call. It was like there's something about the name of it that like struck a chord with you. And a lot of you showed up for it.
I think the
And that's
headline
like,
caught attention, personally.
right. Like it mattered. I'm doing a workshop for non-members tomorrow, and it's our highest RSVPs we've had on a webinar workshop ever. Like it's awesome. It just struck a chord with people. That's about testing and knowing your audience and like getting better and better, you know? So I think for you, if people are saying no to you, the offer sucks. That's it. Like what how you're approaching them is just boring. You're forgettable. You know? Like you think you're a big deal and they don't think anything of you. And I think you have to reposition yourself and posture differently and try and try and try and just like see what you can do to break through. And then just be relentless. So many of these people, they're like, "Okay, if I don't answer Amy in like two emails, that's it." Like she's never going to follow up again. So we can just like quell her desire to be part of this by just like not answering her twice. It's like, cool. Actually, Amy shows up a little different. She'll send direct mail, right? She'll like do phone calls. She'll send text messages. She'll add events to people's calendar. Like Amy's hungry. That's how you're going to get in. All right. Oh, we're at the end of time. I'm happy to stick around if you guys want to chat on anything. Anyone here get any ahas from this AI intelligence playbook? Cindy?
This was cool, actually, both from the VC and the events. I ended up getting a free ticket from one of the vendors. So they are
Okay.
actually a really good lead because they do lighting. So yeah, I think this could be interesting. I never
Love
heard of
it.
the, yeah.
It's cool. That's exciting.
Thanks. Yeah.
I had a quick question. Have you
Yeah.
guys tried to use any sorts of AI voice platforms, because I just recently signed up to a company I used to do consulting for. It's called NL Pearl, and I'm almost so I'm gonna I basically have a phone number, and if you call, it sounds pretty human, but it's an AI, and it can schedule a call on your behalf and qualify the leads, or if it's an emergency and they want to directly speak to you, it will redirect the call directly to me. And I was wondering if anybody has used
Yeah,
such tool.
I haven't. We have a member. His niche is AI voice, and he's been in the space for 10 years, Josh. So he's worth reaching out to. So I mean, he knows what's working well right now and like the good tools. Yeah. Anyone else have direct experience? Ben, do you do any AI voice like call answering?
I've done a ton, but it's not something I like do. It's just something I've implemented for clients.
It's not something you do, it's something you've done. I
Yeah, I
like
guess
that.
so.
Yeah, you've moved on.
Sorry.
No, it's good. Jason, I used a team that custom developed something at Kraft Digital.
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of a roll. They kind of like rolled it for us, you know? It was like a little custom. It was kind of bleeding edge. We started maybe 12 months ago on it, on a project, and it performed incredibly well. The biggest problem is people's email addresses. It's like, how do you dictate your email address? You know? It's hard. Like, I can say name, I can say phone number, but when I do emails, there's just no context for what an email address is. People have weird email addresses. So that was one thing we identified, but it did a really great job, obviously, of answering when the contact center wouldn't answer, when there was call overflow, and when we were off hours.
Okay, cool.
But then we ended up moving to predominantly Central American using a team called Bloom, and they handled all of the inbound calls and they put folks on for us. And I think their bill rate is $13 an hour, fully managed. So that's cool. Also, check out sdrcallcenter.com and dialer.io. Those are both by a guy named Matt. I forget his last name. But a real player in the outbound dialing space. So SDR Call Center is not AI voice. I know it's away from the AI thing, but those are like Ethiopian folks, and their English is just incredible. And they're
And they do
incredibly
outbound
vocal.
calls.
Say again?
They do outbound calls.
They do outbound calls and they'll do inbound as well. So you give them a list and you'll pay them $13 an hour or $18 an hour or something, and then you'll give them a $5 spiff on every appointment they generate. And
That's
then,
cool.
yeah, and then all you have to do is just kind of like get the lead to them to call. So the way that we do it is, you know, every day we'd provide a list view. So, see you, Bunny. We'd go in and we'd yank a list out of the CRM and say, like, these are the people who we want to get called. Plus, you know, anyone who calls in, plus all new leads. And that's how they operated. And they would churn 350 outbound dials a day.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Dialer.io is the software that they use.
Oh,
But
check it
also,
out.
I mean, Dialer.io it's gotten better, but the true, you know, killer in the space is Alloware. Alloware.
ALO.
Yeah, that's like, as of like 12 months ago, it was the best that's available that I've seen.
Cool. I'll check it out. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Cool. All right. Anything else? Anyone else got stuff to talk about? Charles, you good? Great, man. Did you feel like a familial sense of pride when the astronauts went around the moon? You were like, "That's my last name."
A little bit, yes.
Good.
Yeah, we talked about that. I think the day that they flew around the moon, I was in a call with you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
So.
Pretty exciting stuff. All right, great. Well, thank you all for being on. I'll see you guys soon. Great job.
Really great
Thanks.
session, Casey. Thank you.
Yep, see ya.